your needs are, then you're in a place where God can bless you and your life can be blessed and you can bless others. You get to that place where nothing can shake you. Nothing at all can stop you from believing. Nothing at all can make you doubt Him. Nothing at all can make you question your love for God, because He loves you that much. So when you get to that place, you have arrived in a place where God can use you, God can bless you, and you just rise up in ways that you never thought possible when you walk with God. So I pray that this morning, that this message reaches you and you find some joy in it, and you find some strength in it, and you find some very interesting things about God. And you learn it today and you carry it with you, because nothing, Lord, can make me doubt you. Nothing. Everything that you've done in my life to this day, Lord, how could I doubt you? All the problems in the world, all the sickness in the world, but here I am again, another week. How can I doubt you? So you get that mind in yourself and you'll be strong and just say, thank you, Lord. When you wake up in the morning, say, thank you, Lord. Give Him that praise. If you don't feel good, say, Lord, thank you, Lord. I don't feel good today, but at least I feel something. So if I don't feel good, Lord, and I woke up with you, you can make me feel better, Lord. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Out of our need, we thank Him, and He will bless you. His word says so. That's where you can't doubt Him. His word says it. We believe it. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I have an amen? Amen.
About it. You can't make me down in my heart. Look at that smile.
We've been through a lot. We've seen a lot. We know people that have been through a lot. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
We pray a lot for our brothers and sisters. How many times on Sunday I say, pray for those who aren't here, those who are in other ways and whatever they're doing. And today, God has answered Second Congregational's prayer by seeing Marty and Marge back with us. Today, they came through the door to be in God's house. We love them. I've known them for so long. My heart is happy today that they chose to be here. So I pray that something that we preach on today and something that we read today changes, touches them in their heart. Not changes them, but touches them. Lifts them up a little higher. Gives them more understanding with God because God loves them. Here they are. After all they've been through, here they are today. God carried them through. No matter what church they go to, what church they chose to go to, God kept bringing them. But today is our day. We're blessed to see them. That smile by that man right there that I've known forever. The songwriter in him, the man in him, is and the friend of him. Marty, it's good to see you, sir. Marty, good to see you. God bless you. Let's give God praise and glory. For today, you can't make me doubt him and walk on faith. This is our time to do that. I saw a man the other day and I felt so bad for him. I saw him saying that he has excommunicated himself from his loved ones and his family and his friends. And he openly said, because I can't talk to him. We disagree on something and I can't deal with him anymore. And I said, the sadness.
Politics.
Because you got each day, you got one day at a time. So you're thinking, well, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Well, maybe tomorrow you won't be able to talk to that person anymore. And your loved ones and your family, was it really worth it? And it's going to get crazy these next 3 days. And that's why you just got to grab onto God with both hands, grab onto the hem of his garment. Just hold him in your arms. Just sit and talk with him. No matter what you hear, no matter what you see, God is in control. He says so. The word says so. So we've got to walk on that faith and walk in that love. Not everybody's going to be happy on Wednesday. I promise you, not everybody. But we got to understand, brothers and sisters, tomorrow's not promised. You can't hate anybody. If you hate somebody and you say something terrible and you wake up the next day and you can't say, I'm sorry, who's going to carry the guilt? That person or you? Don't let it happen. Don't walk on faith. And don't let anybody make you doubt the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, because he loves you. Everybody stand together. We're going to sing song number one in your book if you want to sing along, but I think you know the words. It's called Just a Closer Walk with Thee. That's what we all need. That's what the world needs. You want to cure the world problems? Let's all walk with Jesus.
Thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Sit down, be praised, and give him praise, church. Let yourself have a good time in the Lord. Oh Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Father, help me. Help me, save me from the enemy, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord. Do all these things for me. And then he adds that one little line. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass. Why do you got to do that? Because God's word is important. Amen? What God says is important. Amen? So when he says, forgive us our trespasses, as he forgives us, it wasn't a trick. They were all happy with the, you give me the food and give me my daily bread and lead me into temptation and help me, Lord. But you mean I got to do something now? God's word. Say that with me. God's word. Hey, is God ever wrong? Are you sure? Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Can I ask you, does God stutter? Does he forget things like we do? Oh yeah, I could see him in heaven now, him and Jesus. Hey, him and Jesus, the best father-son combination in the world, amen? I could see them up there and walking around, and all of a sudden, Jesus looks and said, Dad, what's the matter? He said, oh. Jesus said, what's the matter? Said, I forgot to tell him something. How many think that's possible? Not me. That's not your quiz either, so hang on. Just remember all that today. Responsive reading. Marilyn picked out Proverbs 30.6. Anybody know who wrote Proverbs? Most of Proverbs were written by a man named Solomon. Solomon. David wrote the Psalms. That's okay. No, that's good. The word of Agar, the son of Jichah, has utterance. This man declared to Ithiel to Akel. Your turn. I neither learn wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One. Hallelujah. Every word of God is pure. Let me read that again. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Marilyn, I never saw this before. This is so beautiful. It's so beautiful because of what we're going to preach on. I am more stupid than any man and do not have the understanding of man. I neither learn wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One. Remember that. Remember that. Because I'm going to read to you in a minute. We're going to go over stuff in the sermon in the book of Hosea. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Perfect. Absolutely. He ascended into heaven or descended. Of course he did. He ascended into heaven. He gathered the winds in his fist, bound the waters in his garment, established all the ends of the earth. What is his name and what is his son's name? If you know, say Jesus to Christ. Hallelujah. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Hallelujah. You knocked it out of the park, Marilyn. Good job. Praise the Lord. Okay, Margie, we do something a little different in church now. We do a quiz. Each week I ask three questions, Bible questions. And if you get them right or wrong, we don't add up the score. Although we ask people not to look at Gene or not to look at David because they know all the answers. And they're just Bible questions, just for fun, just to get the Bible. And I'm really surprised at how many you get right. And know when I do the quiz, when I put the questions, yes, there are questions I say the wrong answer to. I stand up here and humbly admit I do not know everything in this book. I'm learning just like you. Amen. Okay, we're going to talk about Solomon. Everybody remember Solomon, the man with great wisdom. He wrote some books. He wrote Proverbs. He wrote Ecclesiastes. He wrote the Songs of Solomon. In the Songs of Solomon, what country is Solomon's bride from? Ooh, is she from Jericho? Is she from Egypt? Or is she from Lebanon? How many think his bride is from Jericho? A. How about B, Egypt? Is his bride from Egypt? Or C, Lebanon? How many say Lebanon? Holy cow. Songs of Solomon 4:8. She is from Lebanon. Wow. Yeah, you name it. They're from parts and like the wrestler announcer used to do. Remember, Marty, from places and parts unknown? Yeah. Now, Solomon had a habit of collecting wives and concubines. How many know that, right? And notice one thing. Did he ever get in trouble for the wives and the concubines? No, he never got in trouble for having, you know, 700 wives and 300 concubines. God wasn't mad. He didn't get punished for that. What did he get punished for? For building altars and temples to the wives of other people, other leaders, other beliefs. That's what he got in trouble for. Amen. This man of wisdom, this wonderful man, started building churches to his wives from other countries and other pharaohs and other laws, which was an abomination to who? Hallelujah. So, how many concubines does Solomon mention that his bride is above? Ooh, he's got one bride and she's above all these concubines. Is it 60 or is it 80 brides or is it 100 brides that my bride is above? How many think? How many concubines does Solomon mention that his bride is above? How many think it's 60? How many say 80? How many say 100? Hallelujah. Solomon, Songs of Solomon 6:8, it says, those are 80 concubines, but only one is his dove. Yeah, pretty good. Marty, don't try that. Don't even try that. Now he got this wife, he got this bride, and she had a dowry. She had wealth. Solomon found this bride, and she had a dowry. How much was the bride's dowry that Solomon married? Was it 500 silver pieces? Was it 1,000 silver pieces? Or was it 10,000 silver pieces? How much is the bride's dowry? How many think it was 500 silver pieces? A, B, 1,000 silver pieces? Or C, 10,000 silver pieces? Whew, rich lady. How much is the bride's dowry? Songs of Solomon 8:12 said 1,000 silver pieces. Greg got it right. Two out of three for Greg. Please understand, when you read about Solomon, and we're gonna Bible study next time, we're going to go into some of this, but he didn't get in trouble with God for the wives and the concubines. Was God happy with it? I guarantee you he wasn't. But what he got in trouble was starting to worship and allowing his wives to worship other gods of other pharaohs of other beliefs. And he started building temples and altars. And they started worshiping there and putting sacrifices there. That's what got him in trouble, because God told him, God's word were, do not marry those people. Do not marry them. This man with all great wisdom and all this knowledge, what did he do? Say, what are our chances? And I'll read three scriptures to you. Stay with me. This is Deuteronomy 4:2. Deuteronomy. How many know Deuteronomy is in the Torah, the Old Testament? How many know that? It's part of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. It says, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. How many words can you change? Okay. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He's saying, my people, God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge in what? The word of God. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge. And this is beautiful. Hebrews 13:8 says this, listen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various strange doctrines. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So what is he going to change? Anybody? Nothing. What does he have to change? What did he leave out of this book that we needed to know from somebody else? Anybody? Nothing. That's what I'm preaching on. That's what I'm telling you. There is nothing out of this book that we don't need to know, because he told us. This is his book. He said, don't add, don't take away. He said, I'm the same. I'm the same. I'll read it again. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever is a long time. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you. Ooh, it's a little warm today. You're going to have to put up with the glare. I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord. Turned up the heat, Dave, huh? Making it hot. I'm not arguing with that. Am I arguing with that? Arguing with a woman? I have to ask you again, please stay with me, because this is really cool. Does God stutter? Does God forget? How many remember the story of Balaam, Jonah? Balaam and Jonah. Balaam was a prophet. God told him what to do. God told him, actually, he told Balaam what to go and curse these people and not to curse these people. He said, some people are going to come to you, God said, and they're going to ask you to go up on the mountain and curse the Hebrew nation. You are not to go. Do not go. That's what he said, amen? That's what, do not go. So Balaam said, okay, I won't go. And then the guy comes back the next day with a greater offering. And he says, well, boy, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of gold and silver and all that. Let me go back and talk to God. Hey, God, what do you... And the guy said, do not go. So the next day, the guy comes back and said, I'll give you all this kingdom. I'll give you this land. And if you just go and curse these people. So Balaam goes back to God. And God tells him to go, amen. But this time God's got a plan. Anybody knows the story. When God tells you not to do something, he means to what? Not do it. When he said don't, but Balaam didn't learn. And Jonah's the same thing. He tells Jonah what to do. And Jonah says, I'm not doing that. See, Jonah said, I'm not doing it. And Jonah goes this way instead of that way. So what does God do? God sends a storm and a boat and the whole thing. And Jonah has to turn around and do what God said because God said to do it. Amen. Jonah wasn't happy about it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I'm going to read from the book of 1 Kings. There's a Bible, there's two books, one king and two kings, if you all know that. How many know that it was actually one book in a day? Until the Septuagint, when they decided to make it one king and two kings, they just decided to split it up. But what do you think the book of Kings is about? You got it. Good. You're on a roll today. That's good. No, don't laugh. That's true. The book of Kings is on King. But in the book, as I was reading, and I'm studying Solomon, that's what I was wanting to do, I got to this one chapter, little bitty chapter. Talked about two people without names. And I read this little bitty chapter and I said, my God, listen to what it says today. It's today. I don't know who these people are. Some people actually tried to guess what the first guy's name was. I don't know why you tried to guess, like John said, how many animals. We don't know. But if you try to guess, okay, but why? I mean, if God wanted us to know their names. So you get into 1 Kings chapter 13. And I got to this story and I stopped. It's about a man of God. Can you say that with me? A man of God. And another man that calls himself a prophet. I'm a prophet. Could be a false prophet. Amen. Bible says to test the spirits. So it starts. And behold, a man of God went to Judah, to Bethel, by the word of the Lord. A man of God went there by the word of the Lord. A man of God. Stood by the altar. The king was standing by the altar. He's going to burn incense. He's going to worship on it. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David. And on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burnt incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart and the ashes on it shall be poured out. I read that a little fast because I want to get to the point that this man of God went up to the king who was about ready to burn on incense on the altar. And he stood there, and what did the Bible say? Did he whisper? What did the Bible say? He cried out. So all the people were with the king and they could hear this man crying out to the king. He said, don't do it. This altar is an abomination to the Lord. And he's even prophesying that the altar will be destroyed and split apart. The king's standing there and listening. He doesn't know this man. This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. So it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand towards him, saying, what's he saying? Arrest him! Arrest him. But as he stretched out his hand saying, arrest him, Bonnie, guess what happened to his hand? His hand withered up right in front of everybody. Withered up so he couldn't even use his hand. And then he got afraid. And the people see this. The people are seeing. All of a sudden, he's not asking the man to arrest him. What's he asking this man of God to do? Heal my hand. Here's a man of God. He was one second he was going to arrest him. It's right, this arrest. Then his hand, which he stretched out towards him, withered so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar, listen to this, the altar also was split apart and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, "Please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored." So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. Does the king worry about what he was about to do? No. Does he worry about the abomination that he was about to do? No. What does he worry about? His own hand. He doesn't care about anything else. He's saying, just fix my hand. I don't care about all the sinning I'm doing. He misses it completely. Great story. He said his hand was restored. And then the king said to the man of God, "Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward." The king's going to give him a reward. However, let's read back again. I will read that again. I'll get to it. Hang on. The king has offered him a reward. "Come to my house, and I'll give you a reward." The king. It's fascinating, isn't it, to think one minute he wanted to arrest the man because something God did, he wanted to give the man a reward. He said, "Come to my house." And notice one other thing. The man of God was standing there, and the king wanted to do what? Arrest him. The king wanted to arrest him, and then he asked the man of God to pray for his hand. And the man of God did what? Prayed for his hand. We're called to pray for our enemies. You pray for your enemies each and every day. People who come against you, what does the word say to do? Pray for those who come against you. This man of God did not hesitate. He entreated to the Lord. He prayed to God, and the man's hand was healed the second he prayed for that. Because God tells us to pray for those who come against us. Can I have an amen? He said, "Come and I'll give you a reward." This is good. This gets so good. But the man of God said to the king, "Listen to this. If you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, 'You shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return the same way you came.' So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel." What does he say to the king? He's not going. And why does he say he's not going? Because the Lord commanded him to do what? Not stay. The Lord commanded him that he not do that. So he's obeying the Lord. Amen? So everything is good. How many think everything is going to be good now? It's good. He obeyed the Lord. He said, God said, I can't go. The king was going to bless him. Thank you for being here. Here we go. "Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel." A who? An old prophet. "And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, 'Which way did he go?' For his sons had seen which way the man of the God went, who came from Judah. Then he said to his son, 'Saddle a donkey for me.' So they saddled a donkey for him, and he rode on it, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, 'Are you the man of God who came from Judah?' And he said, 'I am.'" Hallelujah. First of all, the man of God was doing what? He was sitting under a tree, amen? Did God tell him to do that? We say, well, what can he? Did God tell him to take a rest? Because he was idle. The word idle. Everybody knows what the word idle. When you're idle, when you have time on your hands and you're just sitting there, that's when Satan says, I can use him now because he's idle. He's not thinking. He's not doing anything. God never told the man of God to just go sit under a tree and just enjoy yourself. Amen? But he found him there. He said, "Are you the man?" He said, "Yeah." A false prophet. If he was a prophet, think about this for a second. This is where the story gets cool. If he was a prophet, I ask you, why didn't he tell the king about the altar? If he was a man of God, why didn't he tell the king that altar is an abomination? Why didn't he tell the king the altar was not good? Unless he was not a prophet at all. Other people named him a prophet. He took the name of a prophet. He's an old prophet, the Bible says. But if he was a prophet from God, and a prophet from God hears from who? Evidently, he didn't hear from God. Or else he would have told the king, he would have known, "King, you can't build that altar. King, you can't burn altar stuff. You can't burn incense. You can't worship because it's an abomination." But did it happen that way? No. God told the prophet to do exactly right? Did God told the man of God to do what? Go. Don't stop, don't eat, don't drink, go opposite direction. He gave him a commandment. He didn't tell him the rest. He didn't tell him anything. He just told him to go. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Understand again what I'm telling you. If this man, this old prophet, was a prophet, he would have told the king about the altar. He would have known. He said, then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you nor go in with you, neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there nor return by going the way you came. Listen to this. Listen to this where we fall every time. This is a trick. Every time he tries to pull it. Why? Because we fall for it. He said to him, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. What is that? He's lying to him because he calls himself a prophet, because he's telling him, I am a man like you, a man of God. I'm telling you, an angel spoke to me and said, no, you're to come with me. He lied to him. We get people in places of power that lie to you. People, this is a problem in churches because we look up to somebody. Oh, he's talking about God. He must be right. This man called himself a prophet of God and lied to the man of God saying, oh, an angel spoke to me. Why would an angel need to speak to him? The guy just did all this with he was the man of God and God told him. Why couldn't God have told him? Oh, you can go with this man. So he did something. Hallelujah. Guess what he does? Because he considers this man a man of God, guess what he does? He goes with him. Now it happened. And now it happened with him and ate the bread in the house. Hallelujah. Do we need another prophet to come and change the word of God? Nothing added, nothing taken away. Remember, idle, simply foolish, lack of knowledge, we perish. The world shall rejoice that others have prayed for God's healing to the glory of God, never to man. Hallelujah. Now what happened is they sat at the table. Listen to this now. They sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah saying, aha, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of your Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back and ate bread and drank water in the place which the Lord said to you, eat no bread, drink no water, your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. Holy cow. The old prophet adds a new word from God. An angel told me, I heard it from the man of God, a prophet. Well, it must be true. Maybe God forgot something. 13:18 starts the lie, the accusation. And he says to him, aha, I got you good. I fooled you, man of God. I brought you back with a lie. I lied to you. An angel never spoke to me. Maybe he's a false prophet. And I'm telling you that people are falling for false prophets all the time. They're looking up and somebody says, I got a new word from God. And people saying, really? You got a new word? What is it? Something I can enjoy? It's called a lie. Amen? Because the Bible says, neither add or take away from this book. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So it was after he ate the bread and after he drunk, he saddled a donkey for him and the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his corpse was thrown on the road and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse. And there men passed by and saw the corpse thrown on the road and the lion standing by the corpse. Then they went and told it to the city where the old prophet dwelt. Hallelujah. Just notice something when you read that. Anybody ever see a lion? Everybody ever go to the zoo and see a lion? How many wish that the lion never gets free? Boy, I hope that stays behind the fence. Why? Because he's going to do what? Eat you. Notice that the lion doesn't eat the man. Notice does he eat, doesn't eat the donkey. He doesn't even eat the people passing by. The lion doesn't eat anybody who comes to see it. Because the lion did the one thing God told him to do, and that was it. He told the lion to kill the man of God. And notice that the lion doesn't do anything. Doesn't eat the donkey, doesn't eat the body. That's a miracle of God. And people are all going to see this lion standing there. That's another miracle. That's another thing you need to see in this story. It's so interesting. It's so exciting. It's just, well, maybe not exciting, not the right word. The old prophet who lied, hallelujah, now sees the punishment on the prophet from God. He cannot imagine what now lies ahead for him, who not only lied, but used God's name as his witness. What hope did he have? How many people you see are using God's name to carry something in front of using God's name to lead people? Hallelujah. False prophets. Guilt and fear. This man all of a sudden had guilt and fear. This man did not make a mistake with God's word, but did not misquote the scripture or misunderstood the scripture. He simply lied to a man of God using God's name, like lying to a church using God's name to defend that lie. Like lying to a church using God's name to defend that lie. Hallelujah. Now, when the prophet who had brought him back the way heard it, he said, Is it the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord? Therefore the Lord had delivered him to the lion which had torn him and killed him according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to him. And he spoke to his son, saying, Saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled it. Then he went and found his corpse thrown on the road, and the donkey and the lion stand by the corpse. Notice that again. The lion and the donkey standing together. Is that possible? Only with God. The lion had not eaten the corpse nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the corpse of the man of God, laid it on the donkey, and brought him back. So the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. Then he laid the corpse in his own tomb, and they mourned over him, saying, Alas, my brother. So it was after he buried him that he spoke to his son, saying, When I am dead, then bury me in the tomb where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried out by the word of God, of the word of the Lord against the altar of Bethel and against all the shrines and the high places which are in the cities will surely come to pass. He's scared. I mean, look, he sees what he did. He knows this man was a man of God. And so his last request is, you bury him in my place. And when you bury me in my tomb, I want you to bury me next to his. So his bones and my bones will blend and melt together. Then maybe I will find some favor. Maybe I will find some relief with God because of what he did. He was so sick with fear and pain that this is what he wanted. He took this man and said, bury him with me so that maybe when his bones and my bones are together, they'll forget my sin. God will forget my sin. Thank you, Lord. The liar being buried with the prophet ensures nothing will happen to his bones. Some kind of peace and security, somehow giving the liar comfort. Those betray themselves that think by any sin to support themselves, lying to their own hearts. Those betray themselves that think by any sin to support themselves. Thank you, Lord. And it says the following, it finishes 13, said that the king did not turn from his evil ways, but again made priests of every class of people for high places. Because of lack of knowledge, my people suffer. We perish. False prophets. That man was a false prophet. That man lied to this man of God. He lied to him. Now notice the man of God said no to who? The king, who could have given him wealth and could have given him so much. He said no to him. But he does not say no to a man who claims to be another man from God. Understand that we see that every day. That's why God says to test the spirits. We need to test these spirits. Because he was led away simply because the man said, I'm like you. Oh, I'm like you. I'm a Christian just like you. Oh, I'm a Christian like you. You can come and we can talk about this stuff. We can share these things, my ideas and your ideas. God said, no. He was lying to him. He was lying to him. And he misled him in a most amazing way. And he trusted him for that simple matter. And you see it today. That's the oldest trick in the Bible. And you say, why is he using it? Because it works. It works over and over and over again. People say, I'm a prophet, and they start listening to them. People say, I have another message from God, and they listen to them. So I ask you again, does God stutter? Did God forget to tell us anything? Is there anything new that we need to know? You see, this man lied to the prophet. He said, I spoke to God. An angel spoke to me. And he believed him. How many times do you hear that in the world that people say, I have a new message. I have a new idea. And they start writing books and they start doing these things and leading people. And the people are following them. Why? Because they're sheep trying to follow somebody who says they're from God. And they change the word of God. They alter the word of God. They take things out of the word of God. And it's an abomination to God. Let's close by reading Revelation. This scripture I'm going to read is the one that gets them. It gets them every time, but they have to omit this scripture. They have to tear this scripture out of the Bible. They have to put blinders on and put plugs in their ears when they read this scripture. 18:22. For I testify to everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. This book. Anybody adds or takes away. I don't care what you call yourself. I don't care what mighty name you give yourself. I don't care how high you lift yourself up. I don't care if you got 10,000 people listening to you. When you change the word of God, God's an abomination. And that's what's happening. People are building religions off an abomination. Off of say, oh, a prophet came to me and he gave me a new message. Really? Why? Why? Why didn't he come to somebody else? Why did he come to you with a new message? When the Bible says there are no new, we don't need a new message. We got this message. This is a pretty good message. And this story, I found this story. I wanted to do Solomon. I was going to talk about Solomon today, and I turned in the page and read. I never heard this story before. I got to tell you, I've read it, but I never read it where I saw it, Marty. You know what I mean? I've read this story before, Margie, but today, this week, I read it. And it jumped out at me, saying, Pastor, this is a false prophet talking to a man of God and made the man of God sin exactly against God. Because he was idle, because he was sitting under a tree, God didn't tell him to do that. When you get idle is when you start listening to something. You start hearing, so I got nothing else to do. Maybe I'll follow this for a minute. God is saying, stay on the word of God. You can't make me doubt him. That's what we're saying this morning. When you can say, you can't make me doubt him. I don't care what you say. You can't make me doubt the word of God. You can't do it. You can't do it because this is my rock. If anything in this Bible starts to change, your rock is going to turn to sand. We're standing on the rock. And that story is so powerful, and so today, because we see today false prophets in the world leading people down all kinds of trails. I don't care what title you give them. I don't care what denomination they're from. If they change this word of God, we need to say it. We need to stand up for God in this book. He loves you. He loves you so much that he gave you this book. He said, I'll take care of all your need. I will love you. I will lift you up. I will hold you. I will direct your path. Lean on me. Trust not on your understanding. All these beautiful things he's told us are in this book. You start drifting away, and that's when trouble starts. When you start pulling away, that's when trouble starts. When you start doubting, that's when trouble starts. When you start being idle, you got too much time on hand, that's when trouble starts. That's when you need to open up the book and start reading. And you'll find a chapter like that, like I found. One little chapter in the book of Kings. And many times I read it, I never saw it. John, you know what I mean? I read it before, but I never saw it. Until I read it with this message about a false prophet, about God-given commandment. He told them what to do. That's what he tells us what to do. Stand on the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I shall meditate on it day and night and do all that is written in this book. Then I shall prosper. Then I shall have good success. Right there. That's what he said. No other book, no other person, no other false prophet, no other denomination. This book. I don't care what church you go to. This is the book I want to walk in with and walk out with. This is the truth. And this story just came to me. I hope you enjoy. I mean, I really enjoyed this week with that. I read it over and over, and I got all kinds of notes. I left them at home, pages of notes, because I just loved everything I read. The lion didn't eat the donkey. How many think that's possible? I don't. He didn't eat the corpse. He didn't even eat the people who came by and saw the body. The lion. Well, Greg sees a bear all the time when he's walking. He don't get afraid. But I would be afraid if there was a lion. We got three bobcat in our backyard. Three of them. And I'll tell you what. The bear we got in the yard don't bother me. The coyotes back in the yard don't bother me. Those bobcats, they bother me. Because they have just, they want to eat. That's it. They want to have shelter. And then they want to mate. That's it. That's all they care about. They see me, I'm food. God shut the mouth of that lion. The lion did what God told him to do, simply. And the lion stood there with the body. The king didn't change his ways. This is the beginning of the end for the Israel, the kingdom of Israel. This is where it's about to be divided. After Jeroboam, then the kingdom of Israel is divided into two parts, the northern and southern part. The northern part and southern part. When anything divided can't what, church? Can't stand. And the northern part and the southern part, and they became weaker. And many things happened to him, and many things happened to the northern and the southern part until Israel, the nation, had no power left at all. Because the nation can't stand. That's in this story right there. We have to stand together. We have to stand as one with God. This is an amazing story. I love it. Give God praise this morning. Larry saying that, this book of the law shall not depart. We used to say that every Sunday before church.
Yes.
It's in my heart and in my brain. Stuck with me because we repeated the word of God. We repeat the word of God. People say sometimes you say the same thing. I say when we say the same thing is when you learn it. We repeat the word of God and it gets inside of you so that nobody can doubt you. So you won't fall for a false prophet. You won't fall for it. For my people perish for lack of knowledge. But it won't be you because you have that knowledge. That's why you got to learn that word so you don't have lack of knowledge. So somebody can't persuade you or talk you into or lead you down a way you don't need to go. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the one greatest thing that we have, the Son of God, he did on that cross once for all of us. Once for all of us. Once for how many? All who will believe. If you've done something really good for somebody, you gave somebody a new car, you gave somebody, and you'd want everybody to know about it. You know, God did this for us, and all he asks his church to do is to do this in remembrance of him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The little cookies on one side and the juices on the other. Praise the Lord. She likes it, Dave. Thank you, Lord. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, took the bread and blessed it and broke it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, this is my body. This is a resemblance. This is a semblance of my body that's going to be torn for you. This is not the body. This is a cracker, amen? But the symbol of God. This is a remembrance of what God did for us. And he simply asked us in this church and asked believers to do this in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we shall. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I ask you this morning to forgive us for our iniquities. Father, forgive us for anything that kept us away from you this week. Anything that drew us away from you this week. Anything that we said, anything, our actions, our doubts, our fears, Lord. Anything that we did, I ask you to forgive us, Lord. Forgive us that anything that separated us from your love, that pulled us away even for a second from your commandments, from your guidance, from your everything, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, so we can receive this sacrament, so we can receive this with a clean spirit and a clean heart, Lord. We want to receive this morning for our healing, for the remission of our sins, for all you've given us, Lord, for all you blessed us with. Let us be freed and clean to receive this. Pour the wine into a cup, said, this is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins. And he asked them to drink and do this in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name. Come to you. May you remember everything that God has done for you this week, this month, this year. It's been an incredible year. An incredible year, nothing like we've ever seen, but God brought you to November the 1st. You made it to November. You went through May, June, July, August, and September with all the problems, all the sickness, all the things going out the world is telling us about. But here you are, November 1st, because God was standing with you, and God has protected you to this day. And he protected you to this day. He's going to continue to protect you. Be at peace. Be at peace because you walk with him. Be at peace because we know him. Do not let any false prophets come and take away your joy. Don't let any false prophet come and take away your peace, because that's their job. This trick is the oldest trick in the book. When you feel weak is when he will come. When you feel idle is when he will come. When you don't know the word of God, he will come and attack you in a way that you should know, but you didn't have that knowledge. I pray that we get that knowledge each and every week. I pray the Bible studies give you knowledge, and I pray you hunger for more knowledge, because your pastor read that story this week at home. I read it. I saw it many times, but he showed it to me this week, and he will do that for you. He will show you places and show you words and show you scripture that you didn't see before. If only you will try it. If only you will give him that time, and you will not lack knowledge. The book of Proverbs, the Psalms for peace, for healing, Proverbs for wisdom, the Gospels to learn about Jesus, the letters from Paul to build our churches, how to be better church members, how to have a strong church in God, all the letters from James and for Peter, how to walk as better Christians, stronger Christians, and the words from John. And the book of Revelation, which talks about the next coming, our future, the thing we hope for, the thing we look forward to, being reunited with our loved ones. These are all promises of God. Yea, walk with the Lord. Let nothing make you doubt him. Nothing. If nothing, you say, nothing will doubt him. Nothing will make me doubt him. You're in a good place. If you find contentment on November the 1st, after all this country has been through, if you can find contentment today, God is with you. And that's what we need to know. He's in this church. And we're building this church for God on the word of God. But I pray for your healing. I pray for your peace, and I pray for your joy today. And let it be strong, and let you have testimony upon testimony that we can all build together. Together a church for God where the light shines out there and the people have to see it. Half sees. It's really wonderful. See this young lady over here, Miss Bonnie? This man has just make sure that she's here. You bring people to the word. Bonnie wants to be here, but because of you, she can be here. Because of Bonnie, Marty and Margie came today. Because of Bonnie. See, we're blessed because of you. What you started. That's your. When God says to you, my good and faithful servant, and you say, what did I do? He's going to point to that. Say, you brought people to my house. That's what he wants from us. We're not perfect. We can't be perfect. But what you're doing and how you're doing it is exactly your reward in heaven. Happy birthday to you, David. Would you like to say anything?
You're going to make me cry.
I hope so.
I love this place. I love this church. God, my father was in this church. He brought me here when I was a kid. And when I always tell a story when my wife was Catholic, and you know, I brought my son up Catholic, and I told my wife, when my father passes away, I will go with her to her church. But luckily, the Catholic Church has many services, so I was able to still go to her church, but I could not let go of this church. For some reason, God put my heart in here. And the other story I always tell is, I know Chuck and Marilyn remember when we didn't know what to do, we let a minister go, and I said, well, I got one chance, one hope, I'm going to call a person I know, Larry Crisilli. And Larry's situation and my situation was only God ordained. He brought us together, and this is what, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years that God has been watching over this church and has brought many people to this church. We've lost some people, and a lot of it's political, which isn't right. But if you're in the Word, you love the Word of God, you love the Bible, this is the church to come to. Thank you.
God. This story today, I'm sorry I got to say it again, but it's really powerful. There's false witnesses, everybody, claiming to be from the Word of God, and they're changing the Word of God. And you have to ask yourself. Ask yourself, don't ask me, why would they change anything in the Bible? What needs, we accept everybody. We don't have to say tomorrow that we accept a different group of different people. We accept everybody. We don't care the nationality, what they do in their life, what their home life is. We accept everybody in this church. We always have. So when they make an announcement that we're going to accept people, I say, why do they got to make that announcement? Everybody is welcome in God's house. The only thing that when you walk through the door is to be hungry for the Lord. That's all. Be coming to hear the Word of God to learn so you have knowledge. Don't go into a church saying we need to change, because we're only going to change if God tells us to, and he's not going to tell us to, because we got the Word of God. We don't need him to say, oh, I forgot to tell you something. Oh, we're going to allow this now. Well, you can allow anything you want, but I'm going to stand on the Word of God. And this message today is for us. It's today's message. Goes right from Deuteronomy, which is the Torah. Anybody saying the old books, the first five books, that's it. To right to Revelation, the last book in the Bible. Nothing. Nothing is to be changed. Nothing to be added. Nothing to be taken away. No need for it. But you need to know that. You need to know the word of the Lord so nobody can trick you. Because it's the oldest trick in the book. And he uses it all the time for one reason. Because it still works. That man of God fell for it. So let's understand, this is a great message today and a great story. You can go home and read it again. But read your Bible a little bit. Read it. Open it up. Turn a few I ask you to, because then God can speak to you different than he speaks to me. That's the key. He's going to speak to John different than me, and to Bonnie different than me. Marty is going to hear is going to say different than me, because God's speaking to my heart. He wants to speak to your heart because he loves you. It's that simple. Amen. You don't have time to hate anybody. You don't have time to be upset at anybody. If you disagree, I mean, I got Red Sox fans I don't agree with, but I love them with all my heart. And I know this is bigger than that, and I know you're laughing, but I know it's bigger than that. You don't have time to be mad at anybody for one reason. Take for granted tomorrow. If tomorrow doesn't come and you said something awful to somebody, that's with you for the rest of your life. You can ask God to forgive you all you want, and he'll forgive you. But you can never ask that person to forgive you. You can never say, oh, I said I hate that person because they like somebody I don't like. It's crazy, but it's happening. As Christians, don't take this day for granted. Don't take tomorrow for granted. Don't fight with any. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If you're upset with your wife or your husband, say something nice before you go to bed. If something happened with a family member and you don't like that they neglected you or they ignore you, call them anyway. Say, I love you. Whatever you're doing, I love you. Bring people together. That's what God wants you to do. Don't take it for granted. Don't fight with people. This is going to be a crazy 3 days. I get it. I watch the news. I understand. But be strong in the Lord. Have that peace in the Lord. No matter what happens, God is in control. And if you believe that, then that's it. There's nothing else to worry about. Love one another. We're building a church here, and I'm goosebumped. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that we have a beautiful Sunday with no rain, and the colors are beautiful. We can rejoice and be together. We'll go downstairs and have some fellowship. Let your conversation be full of joy today and be full of happiness. And just enjoy each other. Hallelujah. Pray for Deacon Sergio. It's a big day for him. And it's a big day, and you'll laugh at me, but it's a big day for him. I know, because my brother will be gone 5 years this week. And every time I watch a football game, I think of him. And it's so deep in my spirit. His